And welcome to another exciting episode of Kick Arts, Auckland's comprehensive art show, brought to you every Sunday night here at Planet FM 104.6 or live stream planetaudio.org.nz. I'm your host, Richard Green, here for another Sunday night, and boy, have we got a rockin' show this evening. God, that sounded so 1970s, didn't it?
I liked it.
It was kind of like Love Songs Till Midnight, rockin' show.
I think we should add that on to every...
What's that?
The beginning of it, and tonight we've got a rocking show.
A rocking show.
Yeah.
It does sound a little bit old-fashioned, maybe Hodaki when they first started in the 60s, and, you know, we've got a rocking show.
I think we should bring back rocking.
As a word?
Yeah, also Primo.
Primo, no. It was a milk brand.
No, Primo, like, Primo is a Primo word.
Strawberry
it's a
rocking
word.
It's not a rocking word, Georgia. How are you this week, anyway?
I am so good.
Yeah.
Saw some great shows this week.
Yeah.
Excited to see some good shows this coming week.
Nice.
It's an exciting time in the arts community.
It is. It's always exciting in the arts community in Auckland, mostly.
Yep.
You don't look like you agree with me on that one.
Sorry.
Hey, speaking of exciting, did you see the lighting show, the free lighting show we had this evening?
Yes.
My God.
Yes, I did.
The lightning.
I went
and
sat on the couch outside before it got started to get quite wet.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah. Mm. Awesome. Lightning. Rockin'. All those words describe what we're going to talk about tonight. Our amazing guests we've got in the studio from Swidit.
What's up?
How's that how you say?
You know, when you talked about lightning, that was the perfect segue, because we're the most electrifying rap group in entertainment.
Talk.
All the way from Stony Hunger to the world. Hello.
Oh, kia ora, Spike.
Kia ora.
And INF.
What's happening?
Now, you got otherwise AKAs, eh? So Spike, aka
my stepdad.
Anyone's stepdad.
If you want me to be your stepdad, I can be.
Oh, cool.
I'm open to it.
Yeah. Okay, that's
just
good.
DM him. He'll come through for a cuddle.
Yeah. Okay. And INF? Stepson?
No, just INF.
Yeah.
Just INF, a.k.a.
Just INF, a.k.a.
Summertime Tyson, bringing that sunshine in your life.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. We need some sunshine. And also from 9 to 5ers.
You're trying to remember, eh?
Yeah.
We're related. We're actually family, so it's
But I've never heard that name before.
Yeah.
So,
Sabe. Yep.
There's no Saber.
Nah, I got it growing up.
You grew up?
Growing up, yeah.
Sabe.
Just a bit.
That's
outgrowing that letter R.
Oh, wow. Because, okay, so this is not fair because you guys have got, like, cool street names and I haven't. I'm Richard.
You came out with a really good one
yeah,
earlier.
I thought, well, what's short for Richard?
It's your new DJ name.
Yeah, short for Richard is Dick. So tonight I'm going to be Dick.
Cool. Might as well be Big Dick.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Kind of Spike.
Dick, like,
yeah,
big dick.
Go with
big
dick.
I don't know. I feel kind of uncomfortable saying that.
Okay.
Dick's fine.
Yeah. And
that's
Georgia,
how you grow, though.
And Georgia, what are you going to be?
I hadn't thought of one.
Oh, okay. We're going to think of one for you.
Okay.
So, welcome, guys. It's going to be an interesting show. I can see already. It's going to be loads of fun. So, where do we start? My God. Where do we start? So, Stony Hunger.
Yeah.
What a great name.
Say it again.
Stony Hunger.
Yes. More bass or something.
Stony Hunger.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's perfect. Getting goosebumps
on
my ankles.
I could introduce your next show.
You could.
I could be your guest, you know, and here's Dick introducing.
Big Dick. You have to say Big Dick, though.
Big Dick DJ. Stop it. So where did the name come from, Stony Hunger?
Because we're from Stony Hunger and it's dope.
Yeah?
Stony Hunger.
Oh, right.
But don't do drugs.
Nope. That's a good call. So are you still in Stony Hunger? What inspired the album? Was it you're growing up there? I understand it's to do with your change, the changes you've seen there over the years?
All sorts, bits and pieces, eh? Like, where we're from, basically, just a story of our childhood, which also a lot of other youngins out there can relate to.
Yes.
And also a bit of gentrification, a bit of change that we see. And,
It's sort of like somewhat of like a biopic kind of thing, but just more of our like teenage years, younger years, and just sort of detailing like the area of the time and just like things we got up to pretty much.
What were they like when you were growing up as a teen? You went to Onehunga High School?
Yep. I'll do it all again. It was cool, man.
You'd do it all again?
Yeah. I wouldn't change a thing.
Yep.
Wouldn't change a thing.
Peter Pan.
And so what?
Peter Pan bus.
Oh, yeah. Peter Pan bus.
You were...
Oh, sorry, you go.
Oh, no, that's good. You go.
I'll go.
No, I was just going...
I'm here to listen to you.
You go.
No, you go.
I'll go second.
We'll all go.
You go first?
Yeah.
Okay, you go first.
So my question is, what were you going to say?
I forgot now. I forgot. But it was something about...
It's about Peter Pan.
Oh, you talked about how have things changed or...
Yep.
I don't know. I felt like just like... As, like, especially being a kid, it was like kind of the time where like the internet wasn't a big feature of our life, so I feel like people were like playing outside, climbing trees, jumping fences, throwing rocks at people, random things like that, playing rugby touch on your street. But nowadays it's like, because I grew up on Church Street and they put a motorway at the end of it, so now it's kind of like it's just full on traffic. But back in the days, it was like there was no traffic at all, to the point where we're playing like cricket and stuff on the street.
So were you, when you were living in Onehunga, did they put the motorway came through at that time?
Yeah.
So you're living there all your life?
Yeah.
Through that. And are you still there?
No. Can't tell you where though.
Okay.
People after me, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Smaller area, 51 kind of vibe. So.
Is that because you're so popular?
Nah, it's just because people don't like us.
Why not?
Because we're the most electrifying rap group in entertainment. Nah, but yeah, I'm not staying in the hood anymore, but yeah. I'm pretty much there, though, every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
So what connects you back to it?
We've got our creative space there as well. We've got our family there. So we go there all the time, make music, hang out.
We've got the places
pretty much
eat.
Yeah, we eat there. It's like the center of the universe, really, and plus when you die, you go to heaven, and heaven is Onehunga, so...
I haven't heard that one before.
It's an unwritten, unspoken, what's it called? Idiom. It's
not even. I might be dead right now.
Exactly.
But if you were, you'd be in Onehunga.
You don't know.
And this is like Mount Albert Poinchev. I'm not sure that's heaven. I'm just saying.
No, it's nice out here.
Yeah. Did you come through the tunnel?
No, didn't you? I've only gone through that tunnel once. It felt like it took ages.
Mm.
And I got paranoid because of my speed that I was going, and people said they got tickets
and
stuff.
They got cameras and shit.
Yeah. And then I read that sign, you can't change lanes, and I changed lanes, and I was like, oh, shit, am I going to get it?
Change lanes?
No,
you can't.
It's a safety thing.
It's a project very close to
it's
Richard's
a safety
heart.
Thing.
Why though? Like, you're going so slow. Like,
I know.
How does it differ from, you know, any other?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure that they can catch you if you change lanes. Really?
No, they can't.
The police are going to swoop down and arrest you for changing lanes.
Is it because is it like a preventative thing? So
that's all tunnels.
To be a,
yeah.
I feel like we're going on a tangent.
Yeah. Really? You think
it's all tunnels?
Yeah. And even on the harbour bridge, you didn't used to be
is
able to change lanes.
It's harder for them to like come in and rescue you if there's a crash.
Just causes crashes, that's all.
Hard. I get paranoid going in that tunnel.
Yeah.
I've only been in it once, but I was paranoid.
I haven't been in it yet.
Oh, well.
Think of it.
Live a little, Georgia, live a little.
Have you seen that movie, Daylight? Probably released like early 2000s, but Sylvester Stallone was in it, and they were like in a tunnel, and then like someone blew up both sides of the tunnel, and then they were trapped in it. Yeah, and that's like one of my biggest fears.
Oh, okay.
Is it daylight? On the final impact, on the volcano.
No, it's daylight.
Yeah.
I'm not tripping. Yeah,
is that the tunnel that collapses around everyone and
they go through the air ducts?
Yeah.
There are air ducts.
Yeah.
Sorry, spoiler alert.
Oh no, because I haven't seen that one yet, and I was planning on it.
The clown comes out from the sewers. Hate that part.
The clown.
That's the worst part. Yeah.
Are you scared of clowns?
Nah.
A lot of people are scared of clowns. Are you scared of clowns?
Not really.
So what are you scared of, Seb?
Buried alive.
Oh,
really?
Buried alive. Yeah. That's
I'm
the
with you on that one.
The fear of waking up and you're actually still alive.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Do you spend time thinking about this, or is it kind of popular?
No, someone asked me this the other day.
But, oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to say, you woke up today and you're alive, but you're not buried.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless you're buried under, like, blankets.
And given how cold it's been, it's a damn fine idea on a Sunday morning to be buried. So, you've got a band. A band? Is it called a band? A group?
Yeah, pretty much.
What do you call
it? We put our music on Bandcamp, so, yeah, pretty much a band.
Nine to fivers,
yeah. There's four of us.
Is that because you work during the day?
Yeah, everyone's got jobs. Everyone's got doing the day thing. Yep. Yeah. So it's pretty much just a reflection of that. Just trying to be... The whole thing with the movement is, like, just recognize where you're at and be real about it and be okay with it.
Yeah.
Because that's a hard thing to do when you're doing art.
Mm.
Like, you want to be taken seriously and you don't want to be seen as, like, I don't know, this is kind of frowned upon. So, like, being able to accept sometimes that you can do something else and still enjoy your art is, like, it's a cool thing.
And you teach?
Yep. I'm a teacher.
Music?
Nah, I teach history and social studies.
History and social studies, awesome. Mm. I used to love social studies and history.
Yeah. Well, social studies connects to everything, eh?
Yeah. Just have to look at the past to see what's going to happen in the future.
That's what the history teachers keep saying.
I know, that's what they keep saying.
Mm.
So where do you see this new style of, is it the new style of music for you?
I don't know if it's new, but, like, I mean, the basis of it, of our music, comes from a producer called SFT, and he's just, you know, he's always had his own kind of style and things, so our music is kind of eclectic in that sense, because everything comes off him.
He's also from Onehunga as well.
Yeah,
put that in there.
Yeah. So he's currently staying in Onehunga.
And he's Tongan as well.
He's Tongan as well, so there's connections there. I went to Onehunga for a term.
Why not? I think you told me one
for
time.
A term. Yeah.
How did that work out for you?
I came from a little school called St. Paul's, so, like, I was used to just, like, hood dudes being, like, just all guys, and then just freaked out when I saw girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm.
Why was that?
Oh,
just, you seen girls before?
No, because you went to all boys school. You're like, you know, you're focused, and then all of a sudden you're distracted. So.
Do you think it's a better idea to have all boys school? All boys school? That's quite hard to say, Georgia. Say all boys school.
All boys school.
Oh, okay, maybe it's not so hard.
We all have a word we can't say.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on the student.
Yeah?
Yeah. But so what are we talking about?
Onehunga High School.
Onehunga.
Oh, no, and your style of music. Your style of music.
Yeah, it's pretty all over the place. Like, everyone comes from a different background. I guess the collective kind of idea is hip-hop, but everything kind of goes off in different directions.
Because you used to be in Neesha Mystic when Neesha Mystic was around.
Legends.
Yeah.
Goats.
Yeah.
Polysaturated classic Goats. Album.
Mm.
I was talking to someone the other day and we were thinking, I can't think of anyone who doesn't love Neesha Mystic. Like, actually.
Man, there's a few on YouTube.
Anthems.
Fine, but I've never met one.
So, two of us are from Neesha, me and Heath. And actually, Heath was a DJ, so he never rapped before, which is crazy because if you hear him rhyme, like, he's the best in the group. Yeah. And that's saying something because we've got SFT in the crew and we've got Ego who can rhyme. So, yeah. I think it's more like there's more to say, if that makes sense. Like, heaps of, it's like musical, but at the same time, there's a lot of, like, stuff to be said in the music.
So your focus, I read somewhere that home is it homeless?
Oh, yep. So
home.
From our last EP was called Close to Home,
and that was about homelessness.
Well, it was about all the issues at home. So it was like kind of the government stuff.
Yep.
And this album is this EP is called Happier. It's trying to kind of step away and kind of release some stuff rather than just talking about depressing stuff all the time.
Yeah. Do you guys, is your music got a theme to it, or is it you trying to make a statement, or are making a statement, or just want to reflect on your lives? What's the?
I feel like, you know, with art, there's no boundaries, so I don't really like to put a boundary on our music.
Yeah.
And the current album was about, you know, our upbringing and growing up in Stonehunga, but yeah, I feel like we could talk about whatever.
In the music?
Yeah.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And you as a so there's five of you involved, eh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you actually sit around and talk about the song?
Yeah.
Talk about the music? Talk about where you're going to...
We argue.
You argue?
We
fight over what song we should put on the album.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Cool. Arguments. People are like, I reckon this one's better. We're like, nah, I don't reckon. Then we'll be like, why do you reckon it's better? They'll say why they reckon it's better. Then we'll be like, true, that's a valid point. Yeah. Maybe it is better.
And after all that, go get a frozen Coke.
Yeah.
Frozen Coke just cure everything.
How the recording process.
How many tracks missed the album?
20 plus.
Yeah.
Wow. So you got a whole nother album.
Yeah, there was like a lot of songs that we wanted on the album, but it didn't fit conceptually. So we had to just pull it off, you know, just because of that reason. But,
yeah. Were the tracks that like someone like loved that didn't make it?
What do you,
like one person in the group just loved that track and everyone else like, I don't understand. Like, or was everyone pretty concise?
Nah, I feel like it's like we have a little meeting, like, and we like all the time, and we talk about the songs and tracks and stuff, and it's like when someone will give their opinion and idea, like why they think it should be on or why they think it shouldn't be on, we're all pretty like, yeah, true, and we just run off it. There's never really like a big clash to keep something on or kick something off.
Were there any issues with, like, you know, because when we start stuff, like by the end of it, the project, like what you started with, the sound and everything is totally different. Like, were there any tracks that, like, from the beginning of that EP, you're like, this is the sound, and then by the end of it, was like not relevant anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, like that Mine track number Mine. There's a track called Mine on there. If you have the album or if you're gonna go stream it, that sound is like way different to a lot of the other songs on there too, which is cool because we're not just like a one-trick pony. We like to do other things as well, and that's all part of the growth as a group.
But yeah,
Mine's track 12.
We're pretty like we had a sound in mind, like before, like sort of going on this journey and creating the album, and so it was like it wasn't that hard to like stick to that sort of theme.
Yeah. And where do you see your sound like internationally? Like, where does it? Is there a synergy with some other stuff going on at the moment, or do you feel like it's like when you say the sound, did you pick it or you knew that it was what you guys do, or
I don't know, for me it was more just like the feeling.
Yeah.
Like a lot of it, a lot of the music we create is just purely of feeling, and if we feel the beat or like triggers like a certain emotion, then we'll just carry on like that. But it wasn't so much like the sound is popping right now, let's go follow that.
Yeah. Because you know
it's hard to explain.
Like, especially with the Mustard sound, eh? Like, a lot of people fall into that trap and go, oh, this is the most popular sound for us to make it. Let's make a song like that, you know? I'm Whereas sorry. We're just like,
what does that mean?
Oh, DJ Mustard, he's like a producer.
Got heavy synths, kind of bass lines.
Yeah. And that kind of was the, what's it called?
What's Mustard's biggest track that they would know? Like,
Mustard on a beat.
That was a three-part harmony there. Did you see that?
I
don't know.
Did he make Fetty Wap?
Man, I just know, like, I know his stuff pretty much with YG.
Georgia will Google it.
I'm Googling. Okay.
Yeah. You'll know
a song.
You'll find a song.
It's like the biggest producer, like,
did he make, if, I don't, you?
Ah.
By Big Sean? Little stupid ass, I'm with you.
This is you. I know lots of this stuff.
Yeah.
Want to?
Sorry, I've actually distracted you away.
It's
from
tricky because it's stuff that he's produced for other people.
Yeah.
So you're looking up his stuff, no one knows it.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that he's done for other people.
But he's more than one person, though. Behind the scenes, he's got people working on the, you know.
Oh, you're playing it?
Yeah.
I was like, damn, Chuffin, I can hear music.
Yeah. So yeah. This sound, like, similar. Like that.
Yeah.
Like I really like the song. My car only gets my FM.
Oh, true. Oh, yeah, you would have heard, like, man.
You would have heard a lot of
songs then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Big Sean.
It's been dominating the airways.
Mazon and me. Mazon and me.
Is it. Do you listen to music a lot and then get inspiration from that, or is it just things come into your head?
I like, inspiration for me, like, when I listen to music, more comes, like, in, like, melody more than anything. Because I predominantly listen to R&B. Soul than I do more than hip hop or anything else. So,
who would be your top three like R&B lately that you heard?
Damn, lately, I don't know. I'm sort of a guy that goes back to old school way all the time. Like, that's where I feel like, where I like just feel most comfortable like listening to stuff. But I always said like if I wanted to have a voice would be I think Brian McKnight. I don't know, his just vocal control and like. Him to like be able to go through different pitches and stuff like that is crazy, I reckon. And just like even like when he performs live, like even maybe I always rated Charlie Wilson as well.
Yeah, man.
Like every time he performs, I feel like it's just like CD quality. Like
about Charlie Murphy.
R.I.P. man. Damn, R.I.P.
Wow, that took its turn. So gas prices.
So who's Charlie Wilson from
Black Eyed Peas?
Was it
he done a lot of Snoop Dogg. Rap fans know him as Snoop Dogg's backing singer, but he's actually his own man. He's great. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Older guy.
Yeah.
What about you? What do you do? You listen to a lot of music? Get lift inspiration or?
Yeah, man. I listen to a lot of music, but it's more just kind of like making sense of where it sits with you. Like, I think the hardest thing now, because like once you've been in the working in the studio for a while and once you've been producing and stuff for a while, it's kind of like it's harder to know what you want to say than it is to make the music.
It's harder to know what you want to say than to make the music. So is that the decision you make around creating an album, the concept around an album,
is
working out what it is you are trying to say? Like you just, with Home it was about...
Well, with Closer to Home, it was like what is going on at home? Like, we want to leave. So many people want to leave just because of all the stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like what are we going to do about it if we don't want to leave? And so that was Closer to Home. But then this next EP was, it's called Happier. It's going on the whole, like, you know, work 9 to 5. Why do we have to wait till the end of the week to actually have a good time? Like, why can't we do stuff? Well, you know, it's that whole thing about life. But, yeah. So it's just trying to find, like, concepts that, like, can link roughly to things.
Concept albums was something that were really popular in the 70s, where they had through lines and the likes of Floyd and those sorts of bands that had
those are cool, because like a lot of the albums are like had real good stories to it, like
AT Aliens,
exactly, you know, with the skits and everything. Chronic 2001, what else? Our album.
Yeah.
my bad. Stony Hunger out now. Sort of Dakota NZ.
Nice. So you're the marketing guy, INL?
No. I'm just...
did I get that right? INL?
INF.
Call him what you want.
A couple letters back.
Your big dick. Big dick's got the authority over everybody.
I can call him INL. I'm not going to look
at him. Call him your son.
Yeah, hey, son.
Stepson.
No. Brings back.
Oh, man.
No.
When people... Yeah, I get called son occasionally, usually by people who are about 90. When you're at school, what access did you have to music? Was it a good school to be at for music, or did you do it outside of school?
They didn't really have how do I say this? Can you say your question again? Can you say your question again?
So at school, did you have access to music at school, to learning music and experimenting with it, or did your music growth come outside of school?
It was outside of school. Like, music class was dope because we got to play on instruments and stuff, but it was trash. Like, I couldn't read music or anything like that. And it was centered around that. But I remember back in that time, the computers, they didn't have real good, like, the programs they put on to limit what you do on the internet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we, like...
Because there's some naughty things out there.
Yeah. We got like cracked versions of like Fruity Loops, which is a beat making program, and we chucked it on the computer in there, and we could make beats at school and stuff like that. And the teacher was all good with us hanging out there in lunchtime to make beats. I didn't make beats at that time, but
I didn't really give a damn. I just took my discman to school and speakers, plugged it in the library. It's meant to be quiet there, but sometimes music is peaceful.
Your discman.
All the time, music is peaceful.
That's going back a while, eh? That's
a classic. I had a discman. I burnt all my beats onto a CD.
Yeah.
And just let it bang in the corner, making a noisy.
So at school, did you think that music was going to be the direction you're going professionally?
Not really at the time, because you just do it for fun. And you get this rush from it. You know, it's addictive. It's like a drug.
Back then, I reckon it was more popular to be a DJ. Like making little mixes on Mixmaster or whatever it was, some program online.
Acid Pro and all that.
Yeah, Acid Pro and stuff. And it was like more cool to like remix, like, you know, the latest jams with like reggae beats underneath and stuff like that. I felt like people were more popping at school from doing that than actually like rapping or doing music.
Is it a hard industry in New Zealand?
What, music in general?
Music in general?
Yeah, if you're a crew and if you do rap music. Because it's kind of uncompromising and it is what it is, you know? But if you're a solo artist, possibly.
What do you mean by uncompromising?
I guess uncompromising in the sense that, like, you know that there's only a few stations that you can play. So the thing is, like, there's hip-hop stations in New Zealand, but of those hip-hop stations, they're not going to play the majority of hip-hop music.
Yeah.
So it has to suit that particular... And if you're not willing to do that, then, yeah. And hip-hop's the kind of music where there's a lot of stuff that you say about life, and that's not what you hear on the airwaves. So, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like it's a check call. Like, you have to kind of test yourself and kind of go, am I willing to just say what I want to say, or do I want to do that?
Say your soul.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so your first EP was you put out yourself. Is that right? Or you put out some tracks by yourself without going through. Yep. Was it hard releasing it?
What are you referring to? Like our first we've ever done?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Going back. Was that hard work?
No.
No?
It was like, we're lucky enough to like link up with this dude who had like recorded a lot of stuff for this indie label called Breaking Records. And he was the engineer for them. And because we stayed in the same neighborhood. And this guy's the younger brother of rappers from a group from that label, R.E.S. He sort of lined it up so we could like record our stuff there and he would mix and master it. Yeah.
Oh, true.
So he sort of
shout out XL out from day one, supporting us. My mans still beat you on Street Fighter though.
Sort of before that, it was kind of like recording with this guy. We had his Asus laptop, and we used to put a bandana over the built-in mic, and we would record on that, and then he would try and engineer it himself, and then we'll just upload it to like Bebo. I think Bebo was popping
like
back then.
In the day.
Yeah, Bebo. Like,
is this before
but my Bebo was popping
a decade ago.
Yeah.
It must be. Yeah.
This was like, we were just like early as days when we just used to muck around.
Yeah.
But we didn't know where to upload it, so we just chucked it on Bebo. And then I can't remember when we jumped on SoundCloud, eh?
Because that's where I came across this guy.
Was SoundCloud always a thing? Like, when did that come about? I don't remember.
SoundCloud must be after MySpace.
After MySpace. Yeah. SoundCloud and Twitter are kind of synonymous.
Oh, real?
Mm.
I don't know. I can't remember. Kind of. We just try to upload it anywhere that people would listen to it.
This mic smells like chocolate orange.
Cool. You're lucky. Don't tell everyone because they'll want the chocolate orange mic.
Oh.
And there's only one every show, and you got it.
You got the chocolate.
You got the chocolate.
I reckon you should eat it for the ratings.
Yeah. So SoundCloud, is that helpful to get your work out there then?
It's going through a thing. I don't know if it's going to be around much longer.
Yeah, yeah. I reckon it went a bit trash because they try to like, I think, you know, of course it's a business, so they're trying to like make money off it, but they sort of made it kind of like Spotify and Apple, where it's kind of like you got to pay to reach different regions. Mm. And that kind of made it suck because before you could just upload it and it would be available worldwide.
Mm. And it's not easy to access on different platforms too. Nah. Like social media, like they make you have to click onto their site.
Yeah, yeah.
You would think that would be a stupid idea, though, because Bandcamp is like the equivalent, apart from without those.
This one time at Bandcamp?
Yeah. No, I remember that. Is that American Graffiti? No, American...
American Pie.
Horror Story.
American Pie.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. One time, I remember that.
SoundCloud was dope, though, because it sort of gave birth to this whole... there's all these dudes called Selection. And it's sort of, that's where they came up. It was like people started uploading beats, remixes of like popular songs. And it was kind of this whole sort of culture built around it. And they sort of put them on such a platform. I think it's a label. They've got their own radio station on Beats One, which is with Apple. Yeah, so people are definitely utilizing.
It's a community, eh? It's an online community.
Yeah, for sure.
Is it like it's a music social media?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But like you can, it's just been able to find heaps of stuff. Like I said, I found INF on there. I found a whole bunch of other artists, like local artists. It's cool being able to connect because you don't know where to meet up, you know?
Mm. Hard.
No, that was... No, SoundCloud is still going, like, with... there's all these memes going out there, like, what SoundCloud rappers look like and stuff like that. People are dressed, like, with ripped jeans and tats on their face and stuff. But, man, that was like a...
It's like anti-Instagram, It's like anti-Instagram. Like you hit, you don't know what the person looks like. You just know what they sound like, and so you judge them on that.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, and it's going. You think?
Chance the Rapper reckons he was trying to save it, but
yeah, I saw that time when it was like they were making money, and like a bunch of like heaps of employees got fired and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. They said, "Oh, half our employees are going to have to get be gone by the end of the month, by the end of the quarter.
Right. They're yeah. based in was it Germany? Eh?
Germany. Yeah.
That's yeah, the like big HQ.
Do the big labels have anything to do with that? Do you think big recording labels?
I don't think they really care because it's all local. Like the majority of the people using those sites are local, just local artists connecting with other artists.
Right.
So I don't think they really lose much from it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about Spotify?
It's dope.
Yeah.
If you get playlisted, it's dope.
Yeah. That's no, it's good. We're going to be on the yeah, it's classified information.
Oh.
But,
he stopped himself there. Just about to release an industry secret.
Spotify is, because I'm sort of like really sort of late on streaming music. I was a bit of a
man
pirate
in denial,
man
pirate of my past life, where I would burn music. But streaming sites are cool, especially the I don't know. It's just dope being able to go on a search bar and search sort of like, you know, pretty much every artist. And then you'll have their whole catalogue right there and you can just play it.
As an artist, it's cool. The thing that's cool about Spotify is that you can see where all the people listening to your music
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
So, like, we went on there and we found out, like, out of, like, you assume that it's going to be your home city that's, like, where all your sound's coming from. And we went on and we had, like, most of our fans were coming from Melbourne. It was just, like, random. Like, three out of the top four are from Australia.
You could set up a tour then, knowing that, eh?
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Yeah. We're going to Melbourne because Spotify said so.
Because someone played it a million times.
So when people play your music on Spotify, what does that mean for you as an artist? Do you get something for that?
Yeah. Yep, you get payback, but it's kind of like, I think that someone came out and said, I think Bette Midler came out and she had like 10 million plays or something crazy. She has like so many plays and she got like a couple of thousand. It was crazy.
Yeah. I wasn't like purchasing a track, like a single track.
It doesn't add up.
It didn't add up in that way.
Nah.
But
I think what Spotify are pretty widely regarded for being evil in that way. Like even David Byrne, he's like written so many publications about how evil Spotify are, and that basically as like that the main benefit is for like up and coming people or people who are just releasing music and wanting people to have good accessibility to it. That's where the benefit actually is, rather than making a profit from it.
I guess it's kind of like a, you know, you're given this platform and it's like, I guess, say the platform isn't necessarily benefit you 100%, but it's like, and saying that though it's a good platform for you to be on, and I guess, you know, that's what a lot of artists sort of have to just go with.
Are you doing it for the money? That's the question, eh?
Yeah, hard. But then again, you got to know your worth, like, you know.
That's such a big one.
You're not necessarily doing it for the money, but it's like, you're putting all this time and effort and energy into creating this art.
You need something back.
You know, you got to respect your own art.
You got to value it before anyone else, eh?
Yeah, hard.
Do you like performing live? Is that?
I love performing live.
Yep.
Yes, I think that's my favorite.
Live.
How about music?
The shower.
In the shower.
And live in the shower.
What about live in front of a crowd?
Nah, I wouldn't take my shower in front of a crowd.
I saw that. I just walked right into that one, eh? Not into your shower. I want to walk to your shower.
I reckon it's dope. I crack up at sometimes, like, I remember my first gig. It was at this spot called 420. It's no longer here.
Rest in peace.
But I had to get horsed there to, like, jump on stage. And then I remember I was just like...
Horsed.
Was it a good show? Or were
I guess for the time
it was like in my heaps of bartenders.
In my head I felt like it was mean. But then I later saw some footage and it's a bit of an embarrassing time for me.
So are you shy then? Does that do you find it difficult to get up and perform?
It's not shy. It's like
it's character stuff when you get up on the mic, you're like it's a character.
Yeah,
it's different from when you're talking. As you say,
It's not shy. It's like, I think me myself and I. I think I'm a real sort of like critical person on myself, and I always try to push to make whatever I'm doing like the best. And so the fact that I'm real critical of like my performance sort of sometimes makes me nervous, because it's like I want to live up to the hype that I think I can, you know, deliver, and I don't want to perform any less. I think that's majority where my nerves come from. Performing, like even to this day.
But when you go up there, all that disappears and you're just like, you just feel it. You become one with yourself and nature and the universe.
Just go for it.
But I think it's important to have nerves. I think if you didn't, you know, you'd be just too, like, I don't know, complacent and just like, I'm just going up here, I'm going to perform this. I feel like nerves sort of drives you to, like, you know, just go harder and, you know, give your best performance.
Do you agree with that, Sabe? I mean, you've performed lots live.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that.
Do you get nervous?
You do get nervous. And like you said, man, if you're complacent, then you're kind of going out there and just making money and walking off stage. It can happen. It has happened.
It has happened.
Yeah.
In the past. Well, you've got to make a living.
Yeah.
And because you've done quite a lot of touring. Is that tiring?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just feel like a mercenary. You like hired help and you just roll in and do what you got to do and roll out. Yeah. So I like what he's talking about, like being connected to the performance, getting involved in it. Yeah. That's a real thing.
Do you think in The Effect, the play that you saw this week, the performers there were connected to the performance?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that.
Let me just give me one second to bring up the Facebook page so I've got all the names of the performance of the
So actors. Georgia went and saw a play called The Effect, which unfortunately finished this week.
What was so that about? Good. It's so the story is about kind of based around ideas of antidepressants, which obviously is like so common in this country and in the West right now, that so many people are taking medications that increase the serotonin and decrease the cortisol in their brains. So the idea around this play is antidepressant that is increasing the dopamine in the people who are taking the drug in their brains. And then two of the characters fall in love within the experiment, and it's about, like, are they actually in love or is it the drug? Everything is hugely exaggerated. So it's...
Is it the love hormone?
Very intense. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very... like, everything is so hugely exaggerated, so it's, like, they're in love, but they're, like crazy on drugs and love, and it's like, are they on the drugs? Are they on the placebo? What's happening? But the whole thing was just really intense. The staging was incredible. It was at Q, at the Loft upstairs, which is such a great space in terms of being able to move the seating around. So it was, you were looking at it from four different, the seating was all around the stage, using all four different sides. So the actors had their backs to you, but that was fine because normally there was two or three people on stage.
Do they have muscular backs?
One of the actors is a total babe, and he had a very muscular back, and that's Daniel Watterson.
Yeah.
And I saw him in Lucretia last year, and he was also a total babe in that one too. So look out for him.
She's so
great
shallow.
Actor.
Her reviews are based Total on, you know.
Oh, it was a date too.
And it was a date.
And it was a date.
Yeah.
Great date.
Great date?
Yeah.
Awesome. Did it beat our date last week?
Yeah, he's my boyfriend, so I hope so.
Oh. Did it beat our date last week?
I would give this one a 10 out of 10.
So we're on a par.
Oh my gosh. And he spilt his drink.
Did he?
Yeah.
It must be something to do with you.
There's something. Every time I go now to queue with anyone, my date spills their drink on the floor.
Okay.
And then Daniel Watterson at one point was walking through the crowd and almost stood on it.
There you go.
And he would have had like a wet foot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which was not in the script.
Too.
Which was not in the script.
No.
But the lighting was just incredible. They had like strobe lights and stuff going. And at one point, this man fell asleep. I don't know how he did, because it was like absolutely not boring. It was incredibly engaging. This old man, and he was sitting across the seats from us. And then the strobe light started going, and all of us saw him wake up and like do a big jump.
Did you know if you massage the tip of your toes, it releases serotonin?
Really?
Yep.
The tip of your toes.
Promotes the happiness.
That's good to know.
Drug.
I can't stand people touching my feet, so that one.
Oh, just, you wouldn't go, hey, touch my toes. You just rub them yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rub my toes
afterwards. I wonder if that's a placebo or not.
Maybe.
Yeah. Definitely
a placebo. So back to the review.
It was like hugely thought-provoking, like these ideas that, you know, because there have been studies that have shown apparently that people who are what you would consider to be like clinically depressed actually have a more realistic view on life, and that that some people would argue that taking antidepressants might kind of numb these ideas that are actually appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just saying, I'm not saying that's my opinion, because it's not my opinion. But yeah, it was hugely thought-provoking. The lighting was just incredible.
Four actors
who were just awesome. We had Sheena and Will on a couple of weeks ago. Both of them were hugely, the four of them were just hugely impressive. Yeah, incredible cast. The way that they just moved off each other was really good.
Great chemistry.
That's a good word.
Great chemistry.
If you come to one of our rap shows, you'll see all of that on stage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing some shows coming up?
Yep. Doing a whole NZ tour. Then we'll possibly hit Australia real soon as well.
So when does the tour start?
As soon as possible.
Yep. Has it been jacked up?
We'll get the dates lined up real soon.
Are you looking forward to touring?
Yep.
So this is full time for you?
Yep.
Whoa.
It's full time, but it's not full time.
Right.
Yeah.
It's full time at the moment.
Yep.
Yeah. What else do you do? Do you do anything else?
Part time acrobatic and
sleep sometimes.
Part time model.
Part time model.
Mm.
Awesome. Is that good? Is that good for you?
Yeah. It's good for me. It's good for the camera person.
Awesome.
Photographer.
Yeah.
Is it in terms of the work that you're doing and it being like full time, because I know you said it's full time but it's not really full time, do you find that like sometimes you'll be working like crazy long hours, or you'll be working like 7 days a week, or it's other times it comes down a bit?
It's it asks a lot of you to like fully devote yourself to, you know, the craft. Like if you really want to do it justice and give it your best shot, you got to devote a lot of time and make a lot of sacrifices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's time away from your friends, family. Not friends, PlayStation. We're all our friends. Friends, family, loved ones.
PlayStation.
But that's why McDonald's is 24 hours, and that's why we get frozen Cokes.
Yeah. That's where the love is, the frozen Cokes.
Yeah.
Gets you through, Felitti? Sorry?
The
feds here.
He's exposing people's real names.
What gets us, I used your real name. Sorry, man.
That's all right. I'll give you a break, big dick. I think it's just like they said, like it's a full time commitment. You don't get full time pay, but it's a full time commitment. And like, if you love what you're doing, then you're not really. You're driven to do it. You know what I mean? Like,
facts.
No one makes you do it. You just love it, and life would be different if you didn't. So, yeah, it's just trying to foresee, like, follow through with what you have set out. Because you could do real rough stuff and just release it. But if you're like a bit of a perfectionist, or you like it a certain way, then you're able to. You really have to work hard to get it to where you want it to be, because you want it to be on an international scale. Now, I think that's the thing with like Spotify and all that stuff. Your music's playing right next to someone else that's on the other side of the world that has like a billion times more budget than you.
Thanks.
So trying to get your things to the state that you want it to be and sound not the same, but like quality-wise, you want it to be the same.
Yeah. Does Spotify, do they have a quality control thing, or you just can put it on?
You just put it up.
Yeah,
because sometimes when I hear songs that are really well mastered, and then the next song comes on and it's like way louder, it's like peaking, and I'm like, oh, you know. So it's like you can upload anything, upload a voice recording from your phone, you can upload other stuff that I won't talk about.
So there's a hope for me if I want to become a hip hop artist.
No, there's no hope there.
Oh. No. Well, okay, fair enough. Shot down.
Not with that attitude.
Burn. No. Okay, that's fine. What I'm going to do, speaking about Burn, we're going to play a track from 9to5ers. And this is off Happy Hour.
Yeah, this is off the Happy Hour EP.
And this is called Bonfire.
Bonfire.
Do you want to give us a little bit of background on it?
Sure. I feel so serious compared to these guys. our track is called Bonfire. It's talking like just when you're trying to keep the dream alive, but you're trying to like at the same time burn that work time. Yeah.
Burn. Max volume, turn it up.
Oh.
Bass boost.
It's featuring our friend Samara. Yeah. That's not it.
And on the next episode, back to you, Johnny.
What the hell?
Now, if you just tuned in,
I thought that's the remix. I was like, whoa.
If you just tuned in, you're here with the most electrifying rap group entertainment, Switter. We're here with Sabe from 9to5ers, and we're about to play one of his bangers.
Legend and icon in NZ hip hop, aka second album I ever purchased in my life.
What's the first?
Big Willie Styles, Will Smith.
But Willie Styles, bro, he's that was underrated. Bro, like that Ghost Rider went in.
I still listen to that. Yeah, Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
He never wrote any of us. Right?
Nah, he had Nas on it, man.
You know, now we're gonna drive home, and this guy's gonna be head out the window.
I'm talking East and West. I'm talking hemispheres.
Oh, yeah, that album pretty big.
Okay, here we go. I got it sorted. Bonfire.
Up in the cheese by the cat, chasing the cheddar like a fast, running with the bat, eat with the gap, but your drinks to the back, like G, where they at, floating in the aisle unseen, choking on the fumes of my dreams, return to the scene of the crime, suffer from the gleam in your eye, accepted the bribe, now got money on my life, what comes next, loaded threats, shooting in your head like profile pics, struggle to feel, the struggle is real, we're counting the costs, you paying the bills, to fly the flag, to flip the script, look for your late, LAU for the click, dance for the team, gems for the fans, dream of the day when these nights will expand.
Do a whole lot of work for a little bit of pay. Too tired to dream at night, so I do it through the day. Sitting here, my days take flight, and I drift away. Still, I gotta get it, gotta keep it moving like kinetic energy. I said it off, ready to bet it. Are you with it?
Caught up in someone else's dream. Feeling like my own, going up in gasoline. Bonfire burn, no wonder we getting lit. Fire in a home, man, I wish I could.
Toes and I wonder if they know I'm trying to be chose. I just follow my nose. They don't know what I know, and I ain't trying to be told, and I ain't trying to be bold. So I just work till I go, work till I go. Then I'm working from home, and it's hurting my soul. Losing sight of my goals. Like, where did they go? When it's taking its toll. Me making this dough, it's taking its toll. Cause the feeling is low. Self-esteem. Boss isn't part of his team. Yeah, the feeling is low. Self-esteem. Trying to bring back my dream. Not trying to play for no coach. The run around and ain't no joke. And I really don't know how to save, so I don't. But by living at your dream, you are saving your soul.
Do a whole lot of work for a little bit of pay. Too tired to dream at night, so I do it through the day. Sitting here, my desk take flight, and I drift away. Still, I gotta get it, gotta keep it moving like kinetic energy. I set it off, ready to bet it. Are you with it?
Caught up in someone else's dream. Feeling like my own, going up in gasoline. Bonfire burn, no wonder we getting lit. Fire in a home, man, I wish I could quit. Caught up in someone else's dream. Feeling like my own, going up in gasoline. Bonfire burn, no wonder we getting lit. Fire in a home, man, I wish I could quit.
Stuck here, man, a bed on the doom. Tryna reach for the stars, but I let on the moon. I feel equipped with inadequate tools to upgrade on a Genesis broom to manage this room. And it feels like deception to reveal my intention. Tryna stay free, not living in another mainstream inception.
My mind don't go nowhere no more now that I'm getting old. It just lives between these walls and does all that is told. It don't see no dreams no more, only ones they sold. They say I should check my tone when on some telephone. My mind don't go nowhere no more now that I'm getting old. It just lives between these walls and does all that is told. It don't see no dreams no more, only ones they sold. They say I should check my tone when on some telephone.
come back tomorrow.
This is Big Dick coming to you at 104.6.
Man, whispered it.
Yeah, I know.
It's
is that
going to
stick or not?
It's kind of like my toes curl.
Is my Big Dick going to stick?
You know how I really want us to get us some Kick-Arts merch? Merch is better if you've got your name on the back.
Yeah.
So you could have Big Dick on the back, and then it could say Kick-Arts somewhere.
Hey, have you guys come up with a good name for Georgia? What's a good nickname for Georgia?
The Plug, a.k.a. on High Demand.
HD.
HD.
Yo, HD. High Demand.
I don't know if that
is. HD. It's got a good one. Hey, HD. High Demand. Okay. Yeah. And speaking of High Demand.
Yeah.
You know how much I love musicals.
How
was Dominion Road the musical? HD?
Entertaining.
Yeah?
Entertaining. I'm not going to lie to you, Richard. I've seen some reviews of Dominion Road the musical this week, and I was surprised by the reviews. They were glowing reviews, but I did find Dominion Road the musical a bit problematic.
Okay,
I'll start with the.
Is it Don Mc? Is it Don McGlashan?
No. But I would give Dominion Road by Don McGlashan a 10 out of 10.
Okay, so it's no
love
connection.
That song. No, it's just this kind of cheesy, tacky musical that they've done about Dominion Road, and I don't mind cheesy. I don't mind tacky. I love Wicked, but I also love Rent. Ooh. Like I also love musicals that are.
I saw Wicked.
That are.
Good.
Was it Wicked?
that was dope.
Yeah.
Wicked.
The jungle is massive. I don't know. It was, blew my mind, eh? When I was being there, I was just like, the whole stage set up and how just everything was taken off and like brought on and just different acts and stuff. It was like, I was like in awe. It was amazing.
Musicals can be great. And even like talking about this, like the staging was clever. Like they had, they had taken photos of parts of Dominion Road and then they did these cardboard cutouts. So then they would move them around so you were at different parts of Dominion Road. Stuff like that was really clever.
Songs?
I think they tried to be... The singing was really great. The songs were catchy. The lyrics, I think, throughout the whole play, they seemed to trying to be doing something that was kind of cutting edge. And they were doing this... it was kind of like a... comment on racism, which, to be honest, I think came with a series of assumptions that instead of it not being racist, it kind of ended up being racist. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah. It kind of came with a series of assumptions that, racism is bad. I don't know. It just, to me...
Racism is bad.
It's they kind of had...
Just clarifying.
I mean, obviously racism is bad, but it didn't... obviously racism is bad,
yes.
Right? But it needs to come with understanding that these different types of racism, and you don't just decide I'm going to be racist, I'm going to say something that's racist, that actually racism is something that is ingrained within society, and it's something that happens through different behaviors and these different types of racism, institutionalized racism and blah blah, but it didn't, they were trying to do too many things and have too many conversations that they didn't actually make it to the part where they could actually
address it
and unwrap these ideas that they have been trying to address. So kind of at the end it was there's a homeless person who is don't judge me, I actually have 5 degrees, and then that's meant to be okay, now everything's fine and we're going to decide not to be racist. So
it's about stereotypes or racism?
Stereotype, yeah, that is a great question, because that kind of, you actually kind of just not like
hit the nail on the head.
The problems that I'm tending to have with it. Yeah, they were maybe trying to address ideas of racism through addressing ideas of stereotypes. Yeah, because
isn't that the foundation of racism? Stereotypes.
Yeah.
Assumptions.
Assumptions,
and then it's discrimination, because then you're acting upon that assumption, and then that's racism.
Because the whole idea of the story, right, is that somebody wants to open up a Chinatown in Dominion Road, and that some people think that's a good idea and some people don't think it's a good idea. And there's also a song by Jackie Brown about her being the token white lady, and like that's not a good thing. And I found it problematic. And then they were trying to do too many things, and then the different characters are different races, and they're throwing stereotypes at each other the whole way through, saying, like, you're not cool because you're blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, they all decide to love each other, but they haven't actually addressed these things that they've been saying the whole way along.
The underlying...
Yeah, and to me, it was like they were just trying to be too cutting edge, but in this really kind of, like, happy, sing-songy way. Like, they're singing a song at one point saying, I really hate you, and I really hate you for all of these things that is, like, so surface level. And then at the end, they just decide to love each other.
See, that's my problem with musicals in general.
Yeah.
Is that they just, they sit on the top superficially, and they don't have the room to go down and get deep.
Yeah.
Why do you think they don't have the room?
Because of the sing-songy thing.
I don't know,
It doesn't allow room to have that conversation, and it deals with it in such a nice... And musicals have a pattern where they have a way they go along, and at the end everything kind of finishes nicely.
See, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, because I think like there can be a musical like Rent, for example, where they've got ideas throughout which are like about, like, for instance, people who are... sick with AIDS, or, you know, that they're marginalized, and then they discuss that the whole way through, and it's not like a happy ending, you know. And I think that works really well, like dealing with content that's a bit more difficult in a way that maybe you don't want to be so sensitive about it. I don't know, but to me there were lots of really cringy moments. Like, for instance, one part where one character says to another character that they're a terrorist. It's like just things like that. So the whole time I was cringing, feeling like we're like, it just didn't come together for me in a way that things were properly addressed. It was like, you can't just say these things, you can't just throw these ideas of like stereotypes at people and on a stage, and then, like, sing about it, and then at the end be like, oh, but don't worry, because, like, the homeless person has 5 degrees, so we're fine.
So there's no resolution.
So I found that problematic. But I can also see that they were trying to do something that was good, and it just didn't kind of come through for me personally. But also, it was really entertaining. The singing was really good. But,
okay.
Yeah, sorry, that was not a very put-together review.
Oh, it made a lot of sense to me. Provoke some
thought. Speaking of reviews, does anybody do, like, Zomato reviews?
No.
For restaurants?
Just me? Okay.
Do you enjoy doing Zomato reviews?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah?
Because everyone has, like, these real serious reviews, and I'm just like, it was cool and great.
Thanks.
That's all you need to say.
The toast was good. Yeah.
Straight to the point.
Do we have music critics in New Zealand?
Yeah, everyone's a critic.
Everyone's a critic. Oh,
everyone that wears a Hi-Vis and work boots as a critic.
Yeah. Because they're your audience.
Whoa!
Don't you put limitations on our audience.
No, that sounded better in my head. What I mean is...
That was a good one.
What I mean is...
The man with anyone who buys... That's Big Dick talking right there.
Okay, anyone who buys people. Your album is a critic. Is that what
yeah.
you... Anyone...
The internet's given, like, voice to the voiceless, so... Yeah, everyone's a critic.
Because on YouTube, you got you can like and not like, and then there's all that stream of comments that people make.
People don't really look at the comments. Like, they do, they only look at it for a laugh. They don't take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if someone says something on Twitter, then they take it seriously.
Hard. Yeah. But we're, like, in the era of, like, trolling. Like, yeah. That's a legit pastime for people, to just troll people. So
get reactions.
You can't really...
And the comments we get on YouTube as well, they're, like, they try to say some hateful things, but it's just funny because... We roast each other, like, every day in the studio, anywhere, on Viber, on a group chat. That's just funny to us. So it's just, you know, try harder or something. I don't know.
Try harder to comedy.
Try harder to offend us.
Yeah. That's going to be a really, really big challenge for you.
The thing I like doing, like, in the comments sometimes is, like, when someone will hate or just say, like, a stupid comment, then there's people that back you up in that comment, and they're like having massive arguments.
They argue
within the YouTube comment thread.
It's like WWF for the fans on the outside.
Yeah,
that's crack up.
Yeah, meet me in the comment section, cuz.
You critics for your music? Do you listen to them?
We're not known enough to have critics. Yeah, we're still pretty new days. We only just started the beginning of this year, so.
So what, you released an EP in April and another one now?
Yeah.
And you're releasing a track at a time?
Yeah, we're releasing a track a week for the next, we've got another 4 weeks to go.
So Bonfire?
That was week two? Yeah.
Yeah? What's the reaction been?
It's been pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's just different, because like our first EP was way more sparse, way more like, it was focused on the messages a lot more. This time it's like happy hour, so it's like you can talk anything, because happy hour is just a place you guys meet, and it can be good, it can be bad, it can be everything in between.
Mm. Nice. Now, speaking of musicals, you know there's what was that American President? There's a musical about American President, and it's all hip hop. What's that called?
Hamilton.
Thank you, thank you, Hamilton. Have you heard that?
Yeah. No,
I haven't heard nothing about that.
Oh, you have to go look at it.
Do you know it existed?
Yeah. So it's
a play. Was it a TV?
Is it?
Okay. Now we have to. You've spoken. Now we have to introduce you.
Yeah. I see.
So, Sabe, introduce your friend.
Hi, it's Sarasa. Oh, sorry.
It's Sarasa, and she's an actor. So
she acts and stuff like that. It's pretty popping.
Yeah.
She's the actor one, so.
Yeah. So you've seen Hamilton?
No, I've listened to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I haven't actually seen, and I've read the reviews and stuff, and I know all about it. But I don't know where you can watch it online. I'm sure there's a way to stream it, but I'm not very good at that.
I think that it's you can get on YouTube. You can get different scenes and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen those, so I haven't. But it feels wrong to not watch it in its
whole context. Yeah. What's your impression of the music?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So the guy that composed the music,
going to give us a review now.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah. So he also worked on Moana.
What did you think of that?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh.
I loved it.
You love Moana?
There's just one thing, because he sings one of the songs in Moana, and it's this great song, but his voice just isn't right for it.
And that
bothered me.
Which song was that?
It's the one where she first leaves the island.
Have you guys seen Moana?
But isn't that just on the...
Oh, sorry. I saw it once, yeah.
Did you like it?
That's not on the...
Yeah.
Did you like Moana?
Okay, some touching...
That's great.
Touching moments in that film.
Yeah?
Yeah, I seen it once early.
Yeah. What led you to go and see Moana? Just
I just watched it on internet.
Oh, okay.
Now it was just, I think for me it was just, you know, of course you're seeing like stories of, you know, reflecting your heritage and stuff like that, somewhat put on such a big platform.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of like if it's like
good or not,
you just want to see. You're curious. You're just curious because you want to see.
Yeah. The fact they've given it this platform was cool.
Bringing together so many countries and languages in one thing.
Hard.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So would you guys consider, my original question was around Hamilton. And
I haven't been there in ages.
You guys were talking about,
know it's no longer the STI capital.
Where is it?
Is it Gisborne?
It's Gisborne.
Gisborne.
What's STI?
R&V's
there. Oh, STI.
Yeah.
Racking up all the stats in three days.
So would you write a musical, a hip-hop musical? Would that be something that would interest you?
Hey. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yep. Well,
I've had this idea.
We need our own TV show too.
Yeah.
We wanted to do something like that for Stony Hunger, like the, because there's a lot of skits and the stories kind of, you know, flow from one, like, you know, one song to the next. We wanted to try to put something together, but
if you check out one of their clips,
we don't know people in that field.
Got two songs together, and it kind of feels like a little bit of a musical. What's the two tracks?
Close One and Little Did She Know.
Yeah.
Yep.
So if you go on YouTube or you go sura.co.nz, find that, and it's also track 3 and 4 on the Stony Hunger album out now. Go get it.
It's actually track 4 and 5.
But three and four on, like on the burn CD. Vibe in terms of the story coming across.
Oh, no, you're right.
Is that Close One Go Fly? Should I play that now?
Huh?
Should I play that now?
Play what?
Close One Go Fly.
Go Fly.
It's got Go Fly.
Oh, CJ Fly.
Oh, CJ Fly.
CJ Fly.
Feature artist.
Featuring artists.
Hey! Take off your glasses, Richard. A big dick.
Big dick. Yeah.
There you go.
In more ways than one.
Play what you want to play.
What are you? You suggested Mine. So tell us about Mine. Are you gonna sing along live for us on that, or are you just gonna play the track?
We might just play that.
Okay.
This song is kind of just like Mine is. The previous song is kind of going out, getting to that point where you're really wasted and intoxicated and doing crazy and stupid things, which we call as being out the gate. And then at the end, it's like our friend, he's been arrested. He gets out of Central, which is the police hold in the city. And then he calls the girl that he's in contact with to pick him up. And it sort of leads on from that. And it's just kind of like, I guess it's just about
being in her presence or having her energy around him because he's been out the gate and he just needs to be surrounded by a beautiful woman, which is
love, companionship.
Brought back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so mine.
Love.
Yeah.
Love. L-O-V-E, love.
Still hanging out now.
You're now chilling with Big Dick.
Body against me, ooh, ooh. Her body so sexy, but she will let me. Off in the body, I gotta be blessed, see. I'm off on a mission, I'm begging, I'm wishing, a bomb bomb, it's on. I went from the bedroom back to the kitchen, she mounts, I never been higher, baby. I'm letting her ride me crazy. Up at the top of the moon, I be calling the phone, and I'm letting her know, now.
You have it,
you have it.
I touch it,
I touch it.
That was a track called Mine by the most electrifying rap group in entertainment.
What's up? I'm Spike.
Hitting you with some jazz.
That's INF talking. We're here with HD, Big Dick, Sabe, Irasa, and we're just yawning.
Let's not put HD and Big Dick in the same sentence.
Yeah, let's
change that up.
Yeah, yes. Those names are definitely not sticking.
Yeah, sorry, Nana. I hope you'll tune in next week. Speaking of Nanas, how do your family feel about what you're doing? You got a lot
love
of support?
It, man. Support 100.
Yeah. Always from the beginning?
Yeah. My mom's like annoying to the point she comes to like majority of my shows and stuff like that. Mm. Even though I don't want her to come, but she still comes to support and I just have to respect that.
That's really cute.
She's happier what her son's doing. So.
Where do all the certificates and awards go?
We have at our like office space. That's where we keep it, kind of there.
I only ask because, like, in our crew, like, Donald's mum used to keep them all together.
Oh,
like,
sure.
On top
sweet.
Of her TV was just, like, this magic place.
That's dope.
Yeah, this guy's house.
My mum's got, like, a wall that's, like, a... Wow. Bro, you walk in the lounge and it's, like... You see yourself, you see your brothers, you see your friends and family and other, like, you know, artists that she likes. Cause she supports hip-hop, New Zealand hip-hop on a big scale, so... When I go visit her and I see this big shrine of like New Zealand artists and then see us and, you know, photos of us all over the wall, I'm like, oh, my.
It makes sense though, like, you guys have that drive and that push though when you hear those stories.
Yeah, you definitely need like a good, plus you need a good support system, you know what I mean?
Mm.
There's a lot of times where, you know, this road is kind of like, you don't know where your destination is or whatever, but the fact that you got like a good support team and, you know, people supporting you, it just keeps you going.
You ever thought of packing it in?
Yeah, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we go get their frozen coat.
Yeah. Is that what pulls you back, just a frozen coat?
Yeah.
Each other? I mean, you're your own support network as well as a group?
I think we just have this, like, it's hard to explain, but we have, like, a strong self-belief that, like, we're destined to do something great, and that alone just keeps us going because, I don't know, it's just, it's a weird feeling.
What does that mean, do something great? What do you mean by that?
I don't know. There's no limitations to it. Whatever,
like taking the rubbish out before the rubbish truck comes, you can hear it, and you make it, and you're like,
"That's the story of my life."
Come at me Monday,
Wednesday morning at about 6:30 when I go, "Shit, I forgot to take the rubbish out."
Yeah.
And then you get out there, because you go on the other side of the road when they come back the other side.
Yeah. And you look the driver right in the eye, and you go, "Ha ha!"
Yeah, and he goes, "Sorry,
I haven't done that before." Yeah.
What about you? What keeps you going? I mean, how long have you been involved? So, high school.
Really
Nisha Mystic started in high school, didn't it? At St. Paul's, is it?
No, they all went to Western Springs. I was the only one that went to St. Paul's.
Oh.
I joined the group after they had released their first single. Like, I'd been involved in the writing, but I hadn't been in the crew.
What was the crew called? Fresh Dialects?
That was my crew.
Yeah. I remember the...
Yeah.
What was that? The rock? The
Rockers?
Yeah.
Oh, do you mean the gig?
There was that, like, school, like...
Pacifica Beats.
Yeah, Pacifica Beats.
I just remember. The crew. Like, yeah. So, they started a crew. Nijan started a crew called Tropical Penguins over in Western Springs.
Tropical Penguins.
Yeah.
That's fire.
That's surefire success.
Wow. Tropical Penguins.
Sounds like a Disney movie, eh?
They were cool ass. And so, like, I started a band at my school just in kind of response to that. And then, but we were always crew and we were always friends. And me and Donald were always, we started rhyming before they joined the crew. So I got brought in quite late, actually. But, sorry, what's the question? We had our first single in the charts when I was at school, just finishing school.
Was that hard to handle? Because you would have been kind of popular at school. Were you popular at school for that?
It doesn't go like that at a boys' school. I went to a league school. And so, you know, everyone's playing league. So music was frowned upon. Like, it was actually really not popular. It was seen as a real nerdy, like, just something really insignificant, stupid.
And with a song on the charts?
Even like that. It was a bit, you know, it's not cool to stand out. Especially, we didn't have a music class. We didn't have any musical instruments at our school. So, like, it wasn't seen as something cool. We'd done the first concert. We were the first band that the school had in, like, 20 years.
So where did the music come from?
Oh, outside. Definitely outside. Just, like, we're from Grey Lynn. You know, these guys represent Ernie Hung, and that's the cool thing. It's, like, for me, I'm just, like, looking back, and I'm, like, that's how we represented Grey Lynn when we came out. That was our place. That was our home. That was everything to us, and everything came through that in the music. And so the Don of Grey Lynn is Shefu. So, you know, we came up through, like... Similar to these guys, my dad's the biggest fan of hip hop music, like in the beginning particularly, and that's how I got into it was my dad. He would roll up to people and start talking to them, and pretty soon people started like looking sideways at him, and then pretty soon they're like, oh, that's that crazy guy that always comes to our shows and says hello, and we'll give him time because he comes to our shows, you know, and he buys our music, so
yeah.
You know, it was really my dad.
So you're inspired by listening to all that music at home?
Yeah. I think just being around music all the time, and then, it was a crazy time because, like, you know, Scribe came up from Christchurch and he lived with us for like a couple of years, and that's when he was the one that was pushing me to write. So, like, it was a small community that just blew up.
Is it still small? Do you guys...
yes and no, I think. It's, I don't know. What do you reckon?
It's small online. It's big in terms of, like... It's there's like lots of people releasing stuff, but in terms of shows and stuff, it's quite sparse. So yeah.
What's your outlet for shows? You're going on a tour. Is that hard to organise? Live? You got some live gigs coming up for 9 to 5ers and stuff.
Yeah, we've got our EP release at Portland on the 9th of September. Yeah, and some other shows after that. Yeah.
Is it hard to get shows with hip hop in New Zealand?
It's developing. Like, there's a few spots that... Yeah. It's really venues. There's not that many great venues.
Yeah. I reckon, like, when was we started doing gigs early, like, a few years back, there was, like, venues like Rakino's, Kuja Lounge, and definitely, like, 420. And I felt like there was gigs there, like, every single week at least one of the venues. But nowadays, there's not... Yeah. Like, what he was saying, there's not really, like... Like, Neck of the Woods is probably the most sort of venue, like... For artists,
because with Rick of the Woods, with the Rakinos and like Rick of the Woods, now the Rakinos and like Kuja and like,
so sad.
Yeah, now that they've gone, there's like no really outlet of like hip hop venues to go to and just listen or watch a show. Whereas, you know, I think Nick of the Woods, yeah, is just the only spot at the moment.
The Golden Dawn a little bit too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But it would depend, like. It feels as though like Double Double and Heavy are playing there like every other weekend, but then they fit into quite an indie audience too.
I was amazed that there was I can't remember the name of the venue. It was at the top of Queen Street, and it was going back maybe 10 years, and they built apartments.
Probably talking about
Kuja. And well, the stairs.
And they tore it down because neighbours complained about the noise from the apartments.
Yeah.
And they built the apartments, and that was a place that people went and played, and you know, it was really popular. But because of apartment dwellers, you know, who go, oh, hang on, it's noisy. It's fucking Queen Street.
Yeah, like, why are you even in the city? Hey? Man. I don't get that shit.
Yeah. I'm glad that we've got to do a show there or perform there and go there and experience that, because that was like a big a place to go to during that time and, you know, part of the scene.
Like it was a training ground, eh?
Yeah.
For like early on when we were trash at performing.
Yeah. Now we've got harnesses and confetti.
Yeah, confetti cannons.
Yeah.
That's pretty spectacular. I'd like to see those. Do you think Auckland could do well with having a dedicated hip-hop venue? Or do you think it would survive?
I don't know, eh? Like, are you talking in terms of, like, only having, like, live performances there or just, like, a club?
A club that was hip-hop club, dedicated.
I think majority of, like, the clubs around Auckland is... predominantly hip-hop now, isn't it?
Yeah, they just like, don't have, they're not made for live performances.
Yeah, I mean more live than...
Oh, live.
Yeah, rather than just DJing or
that's
recording.
Probably Nick of the Woods then.
Yeah.
That or Cassette 9.
It's funny because like the audience is changing too. Like they talked about Soul Selection earlier on, and like their kind of music actually goes into so many different directions of soul, of like more alternative kind of R&B and like more alternative, like even to dance music and electronica and EDM and all that stuff is kind of crossing over. So to be honest, there's so many like hip hop artists that are like on the verge of between categories. Mm. So it's so much more harder to define music these days.
Mm. Yeah.
So when you're trying to put together like the movement or the sound, it's pretty difficult.
But even Tuning Fork have been hosting some good gigs. Have you heard? There's this guy, I was hearing him a couple of weeks ago called Imagine This, and he's like, kind of like rap EDM. I think maybe I'm just not familiar enough kind of with the music. I kind of couldn't make sense of it. I couldn't be sure whether I really liked it or whether
he used to be like, you guys probably know him as Definite and Blink.
I remember seeing their stuff on Facebook.
I met him. He's a really impressive guy, and I'm excited to hear what's going to come out with him as well, because he was saying he's got all these plans to go back to Europe and work with all these amazing producers, someone who used to work with Hon. And it's just so exciting. Yeah.
And that's the thing about the Kiwi artists, though. Like, heaps of the Kiwi artists are overseas doing things. Yeah. Like, Mello's over in Germany, and Noah Slee's over in Germany. And
Diaz Grimmer's about to move to Toronto. Have you heard his new stuff?
No.
I only heard the one they've done with Razor.
Yeah, he's released this new track, Foreigner. It's so freaking good. It's so good. You have to go listen to it.
Eva's on it.
Oh, is that the clip when he's like out the window of this guy?
Yeah. That video is so cool. Yeah, he's a really cool dude too.
And speaking about freaking good music, How can people get hold of your album?
Go to sorta.co.nz, go to Spotify, search Stony Hunger, go iTunes or Apple Music, search Stony Hunger, and if you want to go on Instagram and search the hashtag Stony Hunger, you can see everybody who's uploaded videos of themselves listening to their favorite song as well.
You guys are doing a competition too, eh?
Yeah, we're doing a comp.
The Player of the Day competition.
So if you got if you want us to come perform Player of the Day at your game, praying that you'll win. upload a video of yourself and your crew singing, rapping to Play of the Day or getting hype in the changing rooms or whatever.
What a great competition.
Yeah. Cool competition.
They upload it.
Yeah, to Instagram.
Upload it to
using the hashtag.
Hashtag you. Yeah. What's hashtag the hashtag?
Play of the Day and hashtag Stony Hunger.
Yeah. What a great competition. That's an awesome idea. I wish I played soccer still.
We could start a social soccer team.
Yeah.
We'll start a team. You and me.
We'll start our own volleyball team.
And we can make our
and
video
we
tonight.
Can make a video and I'll be player of the day.
Like, yeah.
Volleyball.
Like online volleyball.
Have you ever been player of the day before?
Yeah.
Off for it.
Yeah, well, I used to play, when I used to play soccer as a really little one.
We can put our names in our uniforms.
Yeah, we could have uniforms. Oh, my God.
HD.
Just don't stand next to each
HD
other.
HD and big yeah.
Just don't stand next to each other.
It's going to be amazing.
Amazing. Speaking of amazing, so your album released a week at a time. We're on the radio.
So it's a week at a time. The kind of thing was that, like, we find that lots of people go in and listen to an album and take the single and don't listen to the album. So our whole thing was, like, we want you to hear it in the order that we want you to hear it. And so the only way to do that is to kind of force feed it. Well, not force feed it, but, you know, drip feed it. And so, a track a week. And it kind of takes you on the journey of where we want to get to. They can find it at 9-5ers, 9-5, the numbers, and ERS. ERS.
As in 9-5ers?
Yeah, 9-5ers.
ERS.
Yeah.
Like you're from Gore.
ERS.
Or something like that.
Something like that.
So if I was to ask you guys, I don't know if there's going to be consensus here, who would be, if we're going to play a track to go out, who would be New Zealand's ultimate hip-hop artist?
Sweet.
I knew you guys would say that. Yeah, you have to say that. Apart from the guys in this room.
That's too subjective. But yeah, you're just talking about our own.
Yeah, so if I was going to play a track that defined, well, not even hip-hop, even New Zealand
music.
The
track or the artist?
A track.
Oh, that's tough.
A track is just like a blow-your-mind track.
It doesn't have to be hip-hop even.
Oh, okay.
A
New Zealand.
A New Zealand track that everyone thinks is amazing.
Crowder House.
Yep.
These guys riding tight. These guys done some studio stuff with their studios, and that's why they're backing them up.
Oh, okay.
My G, hey, Neil, what's up, baby?
What's up, Neil?
I know I'll probably go with good shirt, Sophie.
Yeah.
If you have that.
Yep.
We're going to try to get Rodney Fisher on soon as well.
Oh, good shirt.
Yeah, Rodney's been doing this thing.
Yeah, he's got some new stuff coming out. He's a good dude.
I met him one time, man. I was horse stairs. I was like, oh, man, I'm a big fan. I thought that video was genius too, like so simple, but dope idea. And you guys, like, you know, delivered it right.
Yeah.
And he was just same.
He always rocks his bro. That was us. We went this one year. I don't mean to name drop, but this one year we went to the New Zealand Music Awards and like his rocking his Grey Lynn t-shirt and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So like when I see you guys with the Only Hunger thing, that's what I was like at the time. Was like that for us too. Like everyone was rocking the Grey Lynn t-shirts and as well as good shit.
Should I play a little bit of that then?
Sure.
And then we'll come back.
We'll
and close
back,
off
baby,
the show.
And close off.
Just cause I know where she lives, I won't stick around like adhesive. Instead, I'll skin my knees and wait between. She'll tug on my imagination. I'll wait for an indication. Systematic smiles within. She's
just so sweet, so fine, so polite too. Sophie, I'd like to be for you, but the only, only way I know takes so long, so long. Glow.
That's a great song. I didn't actually know what that song was called. That's a funny thing, eh? You know, you have a song, you don't know what it's called, and I really like that song. There you go. Thanks for introducing me to that. So can I ask, Swidit, what is that? Where does that come from? Is it... Sorry for my ignorance.
It comes from See What I Did There.
SWIDT, Smoking Weed in the Toilet.
That's so good. Is it actually that?
Yeah. See What I Did There.
I see what you did there.
I actually did know that.
Yeah.
I actually didn't know that.
HD
see what
sees
I did there?
Us.
HD.
Yeah.
You're not going to live that down.
No, so, great.
Hey, you can join HD and me, Big Dick, next week. Here on... here on.
It's not HD and me.
Used to that, eh?
Vicious.
You mean the online stream?
I'm going to... I'll leave you guys to it.
Yeah. Do I need to, like...
Live webcam.
Do I need to, like, do a disclaimer before the show... adult content and offensive language.
No, but your like name is essentially Dick, so you're just saying, it's like saying Big Rich.
Yeah.
Big Dick. It's nothing sexual.
Big Rich doesn't really cut it, though, eh?
Don't
Big Rich is solid, I
reckon.
Yeah.
Big Rich.
We're feminists.
Right, we are.
So
I will not be sexual. Objectified. Anyway, okay, so go out. Get this music. Support these guys. Support New Zealand music. You guys are awesome. Thanks so much for coming into the show tonight on a Sunday night through the lightning storm and thunder and rain.
Yeah.
Take the tunnel home. That's what I say. Take the tunnel home. Oh, you're in Eastern and Greenland?
Greenland.
Yeah. But take the tunnel home just for something to do.
How do you get onto the tunnel?
Just
down around the corner. Yeah.
Left.
You just do it. Yeah, just go into Western Springs and turn left. That's what you do. Is that right?
I don't think so.
Yeah. To go south.
Right.
Yeah.
Once you turn. But how do you get
so, If you like the show, you can
it's
download
called
the
Google
show.
Google Maps, cause
yeah. Albert all the way.
You can you can download the show 5 minutes after we're off the air as a podcast. If you like the show, you can share it with your friends.
Yeah.
If you didn't like the show, share it with your enemies.
Can I just say thanks, Big Dick? Thanks, HD.
Cool.
I had a swell time.
Thanks for having the most electrifying rap group in entertainment.
Nice. And we'll be back again next week. Well, I won't be. George will be here hosting by herself because I'm going to be in Wellington.
I didn't know that.
No, I thought, I'm telling you on the air so you don't kill me. But I've sorted the show out. Shows will sort of
thing. Yeah, we'll be fine.
Okay, that's good. So, same time, same place next week. In the meantime, go out there, have a great week, and kick some arts.